You, the blue church Bibles, we're on page, I have to do some maths here, 1201, we're in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. Let's pray together.
Our second reading this morning is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. It's on page 1063. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace, in place of the grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known."
Thanks, Marcus. Good morning, everybody. Really good to see you. As Jay said, my name's Johnny. I'm the minister here at the Village Church. What would be really helpful is if you had one of those blue Bibles open, keep it open at John chapter 1 for now. We will also be referring elsewhere in the Bible this morning, so be brilliant if you're on the top of your game. So, God speaks. The Creator speaks to His creatures. That's what we believe here at the Village Church, that God speaks to us. But this Sunday and next Sunday, we're asking the question, how? How does God speak? You see, if we know how God speaks, we can listen to him. And if we can listen to him, we can get to know him. And when creatures like us know their Creator, if we know God, we'll be alive. Spiritually alive now, physically alive for eternity. But if we don't know how God speaks, we can't listen to him. And if we can't listen to him, we can't get to know him. And when creatures don't know their creator, if we don't know God, we're dead. Spiritually dead now, physically dead forever. You see, this question is a matter of life and death. It's life and death for me, it's life and death for you. How does God speak? It's a big question with a big answer. There's a lot to say, which is why we're taking two Sundays to look at it. And the answer over these next two Sundays is going to come in three parts. This Sunday we'll look at part one and part two. Next Sunday we'll look at part three. Before we do though, let me pray. Let me say a prayer. Father, as we think about this very big question, how do you speak? As we think about the answer, we ask that you'd help us to understand, help us to engage our minds. But Father, much more than that, we ask that you would work in our hearts. Might we be thrilled that you are a God who speaks, and might we want to be a people who listen. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God speaks in Jesus through the Bible by his Spirit. There are the three parts. God speaks in Jesus through the Bible by his Spirit. Next Sunday we'll talk about the Spirit, so come back next Sunday. This Sunday we're talking about Jesus and the Bible. Part one, God speaks in Jesus. God speaks in Jesus. Everyone here knows who Queen Elizabeth II is. In fact, most of us here carry her picture in our wallet or our purse. Her face is on every pound coin, on every £5, £10, £20, £50 note. Her face is on every first class and second class stamp. And we see Queen Elizabeth II on our screens, on our TVs and our tablets. Maybe you have seen Queen Elizabeth II live in the flesh. Everyone here knows who Queen Elizabeth II is. But nobody here knows her. Not really. Even if you've met her, she's up there and you're down here. I live in a Victorian terrace with two bedrooms. She lives in Buckingham Palace with 52 bedrooms. There's a gap between me and the Queen. There's a gap, unfortunately, between you and the Queen too. But what is true of our relationship with the Queen is also true of our relationship with God. In fact, there's not just a gap between us and God, there's a gulf. He's way up there and we're way down here. We live on earth, he lives in heaven. We can see the Queen, but we can't see God. In fact, according to John chapter 1 verse 18, no one has ever seen God. We'll have another look at John chapter 1 verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This verse is a little bit complex. It speaks about God the Father and God the Son, or two members of what Christians call the Trinity. The God of the Bible is one God in three persons. And what is true of this one God is true of each of the persons. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. And this verse says that the Father is invisible. No one has ever seen him. But this verse says the Son is visible. The Son makes the Father known. And have a look at John chapter 1 verse 14, because this tells us how. How does the Son make the Father known? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This verse is a little bit complex too. It speaks about God the Son and it calls him the Word. The Word. How does God speak? The Word. And his Word comes from heaven, but not through a PA system, but in a person. The Word, God the Son, became flesh. God the Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, who was in the beginning, who was with God and who was God, became flesh. God the Son became skin and bone and muscle and fat. God the Son became eyes and ears and nose and mouth. God the Son became a man, a full man. And John, in chapter 1, introduces us to him as Jesus. And John says Jesus introduces us to God. Jesus is God. You see, if we'd been in the right place at the right time, we would have seen God live in the flesh. If we'd been in the right place at the right time, we would have seen Jesus turn water into wine, or heal a paralyzed man, or feed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and two fish. If we'd been in the right place at the right time, we would have seen Jesus walk on water, or heal a blind man, or raise Lazarus from the dead. If we'd been in the right place at the right time, we would have seen his compassion and his humility. God the Son, he didn't come to live in luxury, but in lowliness. God the Son didn't come to be served, but to serve. The Word became flesh to die. He gave his body and his blood, his flesh, for the life of the world. If we'd been in the right place at the right time, we would have seen that. Turn ahead in your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, it's page 1082. John chapter 14, let me read verses 8 and 9. Philip, one of the disciples, said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Show us God." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen God. If you've heard me, you've heard God. If you know me, you know God. In all that Jesus does, in his words and in his works, God the Son makes God the Father known. The invisible God is made visible. The Word became flesh. God speaks in Jesus. God speaks in Jesus. But we weren't in the right place at the right time, were we? We haven't seen or heard Jesus. At least I haven't seen or heard Jesus. God may have spoken to them in Jesus, but how does he speak to us in Jesus? That brings us to part two. God speaks in Jesus through the Bible. God speaks in Jesus through the Bible. The date was the 21st of July 1969. That was the date when Neil Armstrong took that first step on the moon. And he said those very famous words, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." But you and I weren't there. I didn't see it, neither did you. So how can we be sure that it's all true? It was nearly 50 years ago. 50 years is a long time. Well, then there's Buzz Aldrin. He didn't take that first step on the moon. He didn't say those very famous words, but he did land the spacecraft. He isn't Neil Armstrong, but he was there. He saw everything. He was an eyewitness. Buzz Aldrin is qualified to tell us about Neil Armstrong and the moon landings. And it's a bit like that with the New Testament. 50 years or so after the death of Jesus, most people hadn't seen him for themselves. How could they, how can we be sure it's all true? Well, it was into that context that the same John who wrote the book we've just read from wrote a letter. So flick over again to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, it's on page 1225. Page 1225. John's writing to a church. How can they be sure it's all true? And he starts by saying this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John is claiming Buzz Aldrin-style status. He was an eyewitness. We weren't there, but he was. And do you notice the language he uses? Hearing, seeing, touching. John is saying, I'm qualified to tell you about Jesus. I was on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured. I saw his face shining like the sun. I was at the foot of the cross. I saw the nails pierce his hands and feet. I saw the spear go into his side. I saw the blood and water. I was on the beach. I was on the beach with the risen Christ. I saw him, I heard him, I ate breakfast with him. John is saying, I'm qualified to tell you about Jesus. And John's saying, I'm not the only one. Did you notice how he said, we have heard, we have seen, we have looked, our hands have touched. He's saying the authors of the New Testament, together we are qualified to tell you about Jesus. When we open the Bible, we have eyewitness testimony preserved for us. It's as though through them we're transported to the mountain, or to the foot of the cross, or to the beach, or to wherever. We can see Jesus. We can hear Jesus. We can get to know Jesus. That's what John is saying, isn't it? We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And who do they have fellowship with? Who do they know? Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God speaks. God speaks in Jesus through the Bible. But God also speaks through the Bible all about Jesus. Anyone here have a red letter Bible? You know, one of those Bibles where the words of Jesus are printed in red. Don't put your hand up, because I'll embarrass you. Because a red letter Bible is slightly misleading. Yes, God speaks to us in the words of Jesus, but God also speaks to us in the works of Jesus, in his manner and in his miracles. If you like, everything about Jesus should be printed in red. And what we're going to see now is that the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is God speaking, and it's God speaking all about Jesus. If you like, Genesis to Revelation should be printed in red. It talks about the New Testament, how it was written by people like John. The Old Testament was written by people like Moses. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. There's David, he wrote most of the Psalms. There are other authors like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, guys with funny names. But what we haven't said is that the Bible was written by both human authors and a divine author, by God himself. Time and time again, Jesus and the New Testament writers refer to the Old Testament as the words of God. So we're going to have a look at a couple of examples. Stick with me here. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 on page 966. So Matthew chapter 1 is about the birth of Jesus. There's Joseph and Mary, there's an angel. But have a look at what Matthew writes in chapter 1 verse 22. All this took place, Mary, Joseph, the angel, to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Matthew's quoting from the Old Testament here, from this guy called Isaiah. And Matthew says, the Lord spoke through the prophet. When the prophet spoke, the Lord was speaking. It's this double act. There's a tag team. The words of Isaiah are the words of the Lord. We'll flick on to chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, page 986. In Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees, this group of religious leaders, are asking Jesus about divorce. And in his answer, Jesus quotes from Genesis, the first book of the Bible. The quote that Jesus uses was written by Moses. But Jesus says, these words, they're the words of the Creator. So have a look at verse 4. Haven't you read, Jesus replied, that at the beginning the Creator, here comes a quote, made them male and female. And the Creator said, here's another quote, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. Moses wrote those words in Genesis, but Jesus says they're the words of the Creator. It was a double act, a tag team. The words of Moses found in Genesis are the words of the Creator. And there are a lot more examples. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It's His word. The whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, should be printed in red. God speaks through the Bible. Imagine you could FaceTime God. You know, you could pick up your iPhone, search your contacts, make a video call. Perhaps when you're faced with a key life decision. Perhaps when you're going through difficulties, when you're going through a tough time. Or just when you're discouraged and you want somebody to speak to you. Imagine having that kind of access to God, the Creator speaking to His creatures. He never puts you on hold. He never declines the call. If you've got a Bible, you don't need to imagine. You have that kind of access to God. He speaks to us through the Bible. This book is how we can FaceTime God. And you might think, God has a lot to say. And He does. God speaks in His book through the Bible about the creation of the world. He speaks about the history of Israel. He speaks about laws and temples and sacrifices. He speaks about marriage and work and church. But when you FaceTime God, there is one topic that He just can't stop speaking about. Turn with me again to Luke. Luke chapter 24, page 1062. So Luke chapter 24, this is after the resurrection. Jesus is with His disciples. And have a look what He says to them in verses 44 and 45. Luke 24, verse 44. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. You see, up until this point, the disciples didn't understand the Scriptures. They didn't understand the Old Testament. But now that Jesus says to them, everything in the law, the prophets, the Psalms, that is the Old Testament, is about me. Now that Jesus has said that to them, they understand. Oh, the Old Testament, it's all about Jesus. Jesus runs through all 39 books. He's the central theme. Creation, history, law, temples, sacrifices, marriage, work, church, they're all about Jesus. Jesus is the one topic that God just can't stop speaking about. Well, I'm sure I'm not going to be the only one who, over the next few weeks, watches a lot of football. I love a World Cup year. And the Bible can be compared to a televised match of football. The Old Testament is the pre-match build-up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the match itself. The rest of the New Testament is the post-match analysis. It's all about Jesus. I realise I'm speaking quite quickly. We're covering a lot of ground this morning. Let me try and summarise where we've got to so far. God speaks in Jesus through the Bible. God speaks through the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the whole Bible, all about Jesus. There's a summary. Let me say it again. God speaks in Jesus through the Bible. And God speaks through the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the whole Bible, all about Jesus. And there's one more piece of ground for us to cover this morning. When it comes to getting to know God, We have everything we need. In Jesus, through the Bible, we have the full and final Word of God. And that's what we read about in Hebrews chapter 1. This is the last passage we're turning to. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, page 1201. 1201. The writer of this letter to the Hebrews spends 13 chapters explaining that Jesus is the best, that he's better than the rest. And he starts his letter by talking about how God speaks. And he basically says, Jesus is the best. There is no better word than Jesus. So let me read from chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Imagine you received a letter from Queen Elizabeth II. She wants to be your pen pal, and so you accept, you can't really reject. And the Queen starts writing to you, and you're starting to get to know her. She tells you that she loves nothing better than a cup of tea, a slice of toast, and an episode of Coronation Street. But one day, a few months later, Queen Elizabeth II turns up on your front door. She says to you, I want to move in. You can't really reject. But she moves from her four-poster bed in Buckingham Palace to the sofa in your lounge. She lives with you. And now you really get to know her. You see her concerns, her convictions, her character. You get to know the real Liz. And the writer to the Hebrews says, it's a bit like that with God. In the past, he had a pen pal relationship with the people of Israel. He spoke to them at many times and in various ways through the prophets. That was a privilege for them. They were getting to know God. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. The best way to get to know the Queen would be if she came to live with you. The best way to get to know God would be if he came to live with us. And that's what he did. Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. Jesus is God, up close and personal. God speaks to us in Jesus. And the writer to the Hebrews says in verse 3, Jesus has now sat down. And what that means is his work is done. Jesus has arrived home in heaven. He's put his feet up. His work to save us, to provide purification for sins, is finished. And his work to speak to us, his work of making the Father known, is finished. There's nothing more that Jesus could do or say. In Jesus, God has spoken fully and finally. It's not that Jesus said everything about everything. Obviously, Jesus didn't tell me what shirt I should wear this morning. Jesus didn't tell some people here what they should wear this morning. But in Jesus, through the Bible, we have everything we need. Everything we need to get to know God. And if somebody says to you, well, you can't really know God until he speaks to you in a dream or a vision. Or if somebody says to you, God spoke to me in a vision, or God spoke to me in a dream, and he wants me to tell you that you should do this or that. If people say that, we need to be very careful and very cautious. You see, Jesus isn't a word from God. He is the word from God, the full and final word. If you want to hear God speaking to you, but you're listening outside of Jesus, all you will hear is silence. Or if you're looking for something supernatural, let me say to you, look at Jesus. You can't get more supernatural than him. When we encounter Jesus through the Bible, we're encountering the eternal and infinite Son of God. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying that God can't speak in visions or dreams. Of course he can. And we'll talk a bit more about that next week when we think about the Spirit. But what I'm saying to us this morning is that when it comes to getting to know God, we have everything we need in Jesus. We don't need anything on top of him. God speaks in Jesus through the Bible. I've mentioned the Queen a couple of times already this morning. She's a bit of a hero, isn't she? But let me mention her just one more time. Queen Elizabeth II was crowned in 1953. And as part of her coronation ceremony, she was given a Bible. And when she was given this Bible, the Archbishop said to her, "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles, the living words of God." And what was true for the Queen in 1953 is true for us this morning in 2018. This book that we hold in our hands is the most valuable thing that this world affords. It is more precious than gold, than much pure gold. And the reason for that is because through this book in Jesus, God himself speaks. The creator of heaven and earth speaks to his creatures. God himself speaks to us, to me, to you. How does God speak? God speaks in Jesus through the Bible. That is a big question. And there's a lot more that could be said. But I want to finish by asking one more question. Are you really listening? Are you really listening to him when he speaks to you? Let's take a moment's quiet and we'll sing.